Good morning. Hey, come on, let's congratulate the baptism candidates one more time. Put your hands together. Can you give them best decision ever? There's something about Roxanne getting baptized and her first Sunday being Easter Sunday that just tickles me a little bit. And we just love for people that are just finding their home here at Harvest, but especially our Easter services that we just did. So that's pretty exciting. Hey, we're getting ready for our home con, and in fact, registration opens today, and just to kind of point at that, I've got two copies of Audrey Messner's Wake Up Smiling. If you need to wake up smiling, this is a 40-day devotion, a ladies' devotion for a hope-filled life. And if you're part of, let's see if I can give two away today, if you're a part of her happy club and you do not have a copy, first two ladies to come down and get one, I'm glad to give these to you today. If you're not part of the happy club, you have to wait for part two of the giveaway. If you're part of the happy club, no? Huh. Well, maybe you didn't know about the happy club. So the Happy Club is a YouTube community that Audrey does. Is it YouTube? Facebook community that Audrey does. And we're very fortunate that during when the conference ends at just right after noon hour on Saturday, she's doing a Happy Club gathering. If you're not a part of the Happy Club, it's a gathering of predominantly ladies, and just to learn principles that she'll be sharing, that she shares every week. That's just so powerful, so enriching. And she let me know that there are people from this region in Ontario that are a part of her Happy Club that are coming for the conference just so they can sit on the Happy Club session. So just give a shout out for Happy Club. You can check that out. So just two ladies that would love to have a copy of this devotional, come on up and don't hesitate. All right, here we go. Got rid of two. You're so welcome. And we're going to jump into the word. But so today's, we'd love for you to register. We're a little bit at Harvest. We kind of wait to the last minute. Please don't do that if you know you're coming. There is a registration fee. The explanation's online that the $30 per person does not even come close to covering a conference like this. We budget this to the best of our ability. We want to provide it. We don't do conferences very often. And so there really is an expectation that this is a family conference. It's for everybody. Say everybody. This is two conferences happening simultaneously. A ladies' conference, woot, woot, and a men's conference, woot, woot. And together, Bob will be talking to the guys and Audrey to the girls. I think they might cross over a little bit. We'll do a couple sessions Friday evening, a few sessions on Saturday. We'll finish up at noon hour on Saturday. So just put that time aside. I promise you, you will be enriched. You will be poured into. Men, we just need to hear what it means to be a godly man and serve wherever we're serving in life, and women as well, for every age. We will be bringing the guys and the gals together for a final session because it's good for us to all be together before we go home. All right, so today's the first day of our conference sign up, and we hope that you'll register today. Well, we identify today, if most of us in the room, I think, have come to Jesus and we've gone through the waters of baptism, and I thought it'd be good this morning just to be reminded of the story of the Red Sea. We're going to look at that in the few moments we have today that are left. And we identify as Christ followers with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. That's the significance of water baptism. Romans tells us that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What kind of life? A new life. It's a new life. We are new creations. It is new. We are born again. But we died with Jesus. We were buried with Jesus. We're raised with Jesus. And we identify with that. It happens. It happens literally, and it happens not just symbolically in the tank. We believe there's a powerful reception from the Holy Spirit when we undergo the waters of baptism. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I don't want you to be unaware that our fathers, now he's talking about the event at the Red Sea and the children of Israel that followed the cloud. He said, I don't want you to be unaware. Our fathers were all under the cloud. That's the cloud of fire that led them across the wilderness, led them to the place of the Red Sea crossing. They were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized. Say baptized. Say it again. There you are. They were baptized into water. No, they were baptized into Moses. Well, that's interesting. They were baptized in the cloud and they were baptized in water in the sea. Talking about three New Testament baptisms that we experience, a baptism into the house of God, a baptism into the Holy Spirit symbolized by the cloud, and a baptism, the beginning baptism, the one that we saw today, the baptism in water where we identify with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus because he made a way where there was no way for salvation. He goes on to say, Paul says to the Corinthian church, these things happened back there, baptized into Moses, into the cloud, in the sea. They happened as an example, and they were written for our instruction so that we can learn something today. We don't have time to look at all the baptisms today, but we are going to look at the experience of the Red Sea. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the words of promise you gave the candidates this morning. Lord, that these are new days for them, new names, Lord, strength, and Lord, all of the words that came, that they'll hang on to those promises, Lord, and fight a good warfare with that which you've provided them with. Lord, we thank you today for our reminder, Lord, that you lead us around sometimes. Lord, as I talk about being led around by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would encourage some hearts today that might think they're lost when really, really, they're right on track with your purposes for their life. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Well, they were all baptized into Moses and in the cloud, in the sea. I want to look at the baptism of the sea, symbolizing water baptism this morning. Let's go back to that event where for 430 years, which is a long time, four centuries, that the Israel has been a slave nation to Egypt. Canada is only 156 years old. We talk about Canadian immigrants, and we sometimes think people, you know, immigration happened a long time ago. I remember meeting Mary Boersma for the first time, who immigrated from Holland, and that was like in the '90s? And then we have, how many today are new immigrants to Canada and you're with us today? Could you just raise your hand and wave? Yeah, we've got Latino immigrants and we've got African immigrants and South American immigrants. And it's just fun. And as you're coming to our country that only has 156 years of history. And here, Israel has been a slave nation, as we pick up the story, for 430 years. And God's called Moses to lead his people out of that slavery. And after plagues that God sent to convince Pharaoh that he's God and Pharaoh wasn't, that Pharaoh finally relinquished his hold on his slave nation because having slaves to do all the work and build the pyramids, that was a pretty good deal, he thought. And now he's got to let them go. And so he agrees to do that. And we pick up the story in Exodus 13. Then it came to pass. I love when we're going through difficulties that it comes to pass. Doesn't it? Difficulties doesn't come to stay. Even after this length of time, God was hearing the cry of his people. It came to pass. That's, somebody needs to know whatever you're going through is coming to pass. It's not coming to stay. When Pharaoh had let the people go, and God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, though that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. And so God led the people around. God led the people around. That's my thought today that I want to leave you. Sometimes God leads us around by the way of the wilderness, by the way of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks. In other words, they were obedient. They were following. They said, we're going to follow God. And they came out of the land of Egypt. GPS, Global Positioning System. Pretty cool. I remember a number of years ago, one of the guys here at the church got one of the first GPS, plugged into the cigarette lighter for power, 12-volt power, and it was a big screen, and you mounted it in your car, and he came by the office. He was a gadget guy, so he was always getting the new gadgets, and he said, "Pastor Roy, come on, you got to go for a little ride around the neighborhood. This is incredible. This is unbelievable." And I hadn't really even heard about it much, and not even, for sure, not seen one, and so I got in the car, and he had it turned toward me on the passenger side, and we went around the block, and it would tell you, it had the name of the street, you know, you're turning onto York Street. Wow! They didn't talk to you back then, but you could follow along, and then 9th Street, and he'd stop like about 10 feet before. We weren't quite there, and then he would pull on, you know, and it would say, you know, York Street. And it was just unbelievable that satellites knew exactly where we were within about 10 feet of positioning. And of course, now it's no big deal. We don't even have the navigation systems in our car. Most new cars are on board, and of course, we have them in our phones, our global positioning system. And now it used to be that as they got upgraded, they could tell you the shortest route. I like the shortest route. I don't know about you. I don't like take the plug in. Please tell me the longest way to get there so that with expensive gas right now, I'll spend it all. Thank you very much, GPS. No, I'm a shortest route guy. I want the shortest route. And I don't care if I have to pay tolls. If I go through Toronto, I'm going 407. I'll cough it up. I'm not cheap. I want to get through. I want to get there the shortest way possible. Anybody else? Short route people. So you can put in shortest route possible. In God's GPS system for our lives, He doesn't always have shortest route possible, but He does have smartest route possible. Smartest route possible. Say smartest. And He knows the smartest route for you. And He knows the smartest route. And smartest route is in your GPS if you're using Maps or Google Maps, because in real time, it'll upload traffic and it'll upload accidents. It'll upload road closures. Sometimes it'll take you off the main highway and you're wondering what's going on. You realize, oh, 401 was closed, smart GPS. Thank you for telling me the smartest route. I've sometimes said, you are dumb. There's no way this can be right. Only to find out I was the dumb one and I'm sitting in gridlock traffic because of an accident. Smartest route possible. God took His children around the Philistine turf. They weren't ready to take on the Philistines, at least not yet. They would be. In about 300 years from this moment, David, a young shepherd boy with a sling, would take on a Philistine giant named Goliath. He would wipe him out and start a war of wars, and God's people would defeat the Philistines. There's a time and a place where God will have you and I defeat enemies that come against us. In fact, the Bible says He'll only allow the enemies to come against us. He's controlling. God's in control this morning. Say, God's in control. God's in control. God knew that they weren't ready for war yet. Trust in the Lord, we looked at last week as a verse, with all your heart. Do not depend on your own GPS. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you the smartest path to take. It says that God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Do you ever feel like God's leading you around? I have felt that way in my life for certain. In fact, I get a little frustrated sometimes, and you get a promise from God, a word from God, you read something, and you're like, I'm all over this. I want the shortest route possible to that blessing. I want the shortest route possible to the fulfillment of that promise. I want the shortest route. And God says, you're not quite ready for the turf between here and there. So I'm going to take you around. Sometimes I feel like God's taking me around in circles. Sometimes I feel like He's taking me around the bush. I felt like God's just taking me around the block, around the horn, around the bend. He's just taking me around. But if you trust God, He's taking you around because you're not ready, but you will be. And He knows exactly what it takes for you to fulfill your destiny. Your destiny is not at the destination. Your destination is a fulfillment, but every day you're walking in your destiny. They were in their destiny being freed from Egypt. You're in your destiny today as God's leading you on whatever path you might be on. I'm reminded this morning that God led Joseph around. Joseph, a young man that was a part of a very large family, and his father Jacob loved him more than his other brothers. The brothers didn't like the favoritism, and as we read the story, it was kind of a dysfunctional family. They had some messes for sure. The good news is that God works in our messes, and he worked in theirs. But God had promised, he had promised Joseph through a dream that one day he would rule and he would reign. He would have an influence, a great influence. God would use him. As it would turn out, God would use him to lead the nation of Egypt out of famine. And he would win over Pharaoh and become Pharaoh's number two in the land. Well, Joseph was excited about that dream, shared it with his brothers. They weren't excited about it at all. In fact, they decided that they needed to shut up the dream. They needed to shut up God's dream. They needed to just squelch God's dream. So, you know, there are people, they're well-meaning, but they don't understand God's dream in your heart. And the enemy certainly doesn't want you to fulfill God's dream. And so what happens, there's a process that God's in charge of. But this morning, as we look at the life of Joseph, he didn't understand when his brothers grabbed him and said, "You're not fulfilling God's dream." Well, we know the end of the story. He fulfills God's dream, but because God took him around. Because they grabbed hold of him and they threw him in a pit. It was an abandoned well, a cistern. They threw him in there to die. He would have died of dehydration or starvation. And brothers didn't have the heart to take his life with their own hands. And so they came up with a scheme just to throw him in there. And they killed an animal and dipped his robe in the blood and would tell their father that he had been eaten by wild animals. A story that his father believed. Here he was in the pit. I can't imagine at that moment what it's like for Joseph to realize that so soon after dreaming a dream, so soon after hearing what God could do, the power of God, the dream was exciting that God would use me. Many of us have promises of how God wants to use you. We believe everybody's called. We want you to know God, find freedom. We want you to discover that God has created you with a great purpose like Joseph, and then to make a difference with your life. And as we hear the promises that God has, we begin our Christ journey. You can remember, some of you, it may be just the last time we had water baptism service, or maybe it was many years ago. And there were promises, and there are promises in your life today as you're journeying with the Lord. You're journeying into the promised land that God has for you. And maybe you have some unfulfilled words today. Maybe you can remember hearing them like yesterday, but the enemy puts you into a pit. I want to tell you that you might be in a pit this morning, but God's taking you around and you're not staying in the pit. Your dream is not going to die this morning. You're not going to die of dehydration. Joseph wondered what would happen. Well, there was a caravan of Ishmaelites that were coming along, and they were human traffickers. They hired slaves, and they thought, well, rather than let him die in the pit, why don't we make some money? And so we read this in Genesis 37 that the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, lifted him out of the pit. Somebody needs to hear this morning that it doesn't matter. You might think, well, God's not lifting me out of the pit. God might use the very thing that was against you to lift you out of the pit. You don't know how you're going to get out, but I can tell you right now, you're getting out. Somebody online today, you need to know God's getting you out of the pit. He was simply journeying you around. This isn't over. You're not dying in the pit this morning. Come on, somebody. God is leading you around, and you are going to make it to the destination because you're in your destiny. Don't give up on your destiny this morning. They lifted him out of the pit. He sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Oh, my goodness. So I got lifted out of the pit only to be a slave. This can't be the smartest route. This cannot be the smartest route. If God's in control this morning, and he is, then you're on the smartest route. If you're following God this morning, and the Bible says, remember, we said that we seek the Lord. We give him all our heart. He will lead us on the smartest route. It may not be the shortest, but it is the smartest. They lifted him out of the pit and they sold him into slavery. And he served Potiphar. If you know the story, he was thrown into prison for something he didn't do. He went from the pit, getting lifted out into slavery, and now he's in a prison. One day Pharaoh calls for him because he heard that Joseph could interpret dreams. And Pharaoh had a couple. And so at the right moment, at the right time, if you look at the journey, as we look at kind of once he, at the end of the journey, looking back, and hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? We talked about the faithfulness of God in the last couple of weeks. The faithfulness of God. Learning to trust God when he's taking you around. He found himself in the very court that had been promised, the very dream that had been given to him. And Pharaoh called for him, and Joseph interpreted dreams. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." And then Pharaoh took his signet ring, the sign of authority, off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him with garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot. He was number two to Pharaoh himself, which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." And so they set him over all the land of Egypt. His dream said that people would bow down. Though he wasn't looking for the bowing down, the dream signified that God had greatness on his life. God has greatness on your life. When you're in the pit, you don't have faith that God has greatness on your life, but he does. When you're in the prison, you don't think God has greatness on your life, but he does. And I'm here this morning to tell you that God might be taking you around, but you've got to have faith today to know that he's still sovereign. He's still God. You're getting closer to your Pharaoh. You're getting closer to the Egypt that God's going to have you rule over. You're getting closer to your destination, and you are most certainly in your destiny. That was the best preacher rant I've got this morning. That's the best you're going to get right there. Go ahead and give God thanks. Come on, somebody. Somebody's moving from the pit into faith this morning. When I left being a youth pastor in Brockville, I was about 27 years old, and Chris and I had two little guys with one on the way. And we made our way to Messina, New York. Little did I know that God was taking me around. I had no. What I'm preaching to you this morning is not a theory. This is not a textbook that I read somewhere and said I'm going to preach this great idea. No, I've lived this. Christina and I have lived this over and over again of knowing that when we're journeying with the Lord, it's a journey around, because he takes us by the smartest route, because he wants us to overcome. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. We think we're ready. We always think we're ready. When we're not. So off we went. It was exciting. We packed up our Ryder big yellow truck and put all our stuff in it and got to the border of upstate New York, leaving Brockville. I had a religious workers visa. We're going to a new country and a new job. I was going to be principal of the day school there. And I had dreams in my heart. I dreamt of planting a church one day in Ontario. I dreamt of a worshiping church, a church that knew what it was to hear and see the glory of God, to see healings and miracles. I'd been frustrated. I've been a part of a number of churches on staff that it almost just the moving of the Holy Spirit seemed so foreign. It just seemed like it was so out of reach, and people didn't want it. And I would preach and our youth group got it, that's for sure. And just about 30 kids in that youth group. I share this not because it had anything to do with me, but I was true to God's word. And 10 out of those 30 went into full-time ministry and are serving God today in full-time ministry. 10 of those kids out of that youth group. It's just unbelievable. And I just was true to God's word and stirred them, and we would worship and pray, and I'd lay hands on them and prophesy when I didn't even know what prophecy was. I hadn't learned about it yet. I just was doing it. Well, off we would go to Messina, and little did I know I was going into my season of around. And it didn't really hit me till we got there that I wasn't preaching anymore. I wasn't being invited out to speak anymore. And I was getting invitations to youth conferences and speak at churches. And that wasn't happening. I was a principal. Kids don't always like their principal. Come to the principal's office. Some of you have come to my office here and you've said, it feels like I'm coming to the principal's office. I hope it doesn't. All of us kind of have that sometimes just childhood memory of that person in authority. And I served for 12 years going around. They were a great 12 years, but they seemed like, honestly, there were moments and days I felt like I was in the complete opposite direction. I was just before leaving and going, I knew I wanted to plant. But I had heard that the church in upstate New York, New Testament Church, our mother church, was really great at planting churches. They had planted many already. I thought, I wanna go and learn from them. And then God opened the door for us to go and be on staff as a day school principal. For the first 2 or 3 years, I didn't preach. I didn't do anything that resembled ministry as I'd known it, ministry as I'm doing today. There were days I cried out to the Lord and said, God, this isn't the dream. And quite frankly, I don't like being a principal right now. This isn't what I bargained for. This isn't what you said was my destiny. There would be times that the Lord would come and say, but you're headed for your destination and you are in your destiny. Will you trust me? Well, the day would come. We're here, obviously. That God began to put the things in place, and I wasn't 27. I was 40. Older than I wanted to be. But God in his wisdom had gathered a team. God gave us 50 people to start. We had a launch team with strength. We had a mother church that I wouldn't have had. We had a group of people that were behind us. In the very first year this building became available, the acceleration of what God did here, because God said, if you'll be faithful to going around, when you get to the spot that X marks the spot of my will, watch me, and the suddenlies of the Lord will begin to unfold, which they did. And we're here today because of that. I want to encourage somebody who feels like they're in a pit or a prison where God's taking you around. They stood at the shores of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army pressing down on them. They needed a way where there was no way. You might be obedient and even take the steps of going around. But this morning you might be like the children of Israel with the enemy on one side of you and nowhere to go in front of you. You feel like you can't go forward today. You feel like you're stuck. Some of you feel like you've been stuck for a long time. Someone online, you've been stuck. At best, going around in circles. You're going around, but not God kind of around. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Father, I pray today that you will bind fear in this room. You are not a God who puts fear in our heart. I have not given you the spirit of fear, say the Lord, but of love and power and of soundness of mind. Do not be afraid. Stand still. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. We want to be trying to make something happen. This morning, I want to show you this. This is a powerful principle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't mean being born again today. I'm talking to people who have already gone through the waters of baptism. You've already made the decision to follow Jesus, but in following him, you felt like you were going around. Or you going around, you're standing at a mountain today. You're standing at something that's like the Red Sea because you can't get across it. There is no way to move forward. You're stuck. Maybe you're facing a sin area of your life that just continues to seemingly have victory in your life. You just can't get free. The ministry team is going to come in a few moments. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for this principle to take place. Watch this. Stand still and just experience the salvation. That means being set free. That's blessing. That's restoration. That's healing. That's everything that's in salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you next week. when somebody's faith needs to grow. Will accomplish for you when? One more time. Today, God wants to do a miracle in your life. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the children of Israel to go forward. How do I go forward when there's no way? Get ready, God's about to open a way. Get ready, God's about to open a financial way. Get ready, God's about to open a physical way for your body. Get ready, God's about, listen now, to deal with whatever has been perpetual in your life. They weren't ready yet to know what it was to do spiritual warfare. Why? Because they had been a slave nation for 430 years. All they had known was the enemy of Egypt. They had zero faith to believe that they could be set free from Egypt. Somebody in the room, somebody online today, your faith has waned. There is something that's pressing behind you, and you feel like you're not going back. You know you don't want to go back to alcohol. You know you don't want to go back to drug addiction. You know you don't want to go back to whatever it is, fill in the blank. You know that. But moving forward in God is hard. Moving forward in God, you just thought, I've got no way forward, and God's telling me I need to go forward? I want to. God knows, Lord, you know I want to move forward, but I'm stuck. And God said, stand still. Because what I want to do is I want to defeat an enemy that you don't have the faith, a perpetual enemy that's been a part of your life for 430 years. But today's the day. Say goodbye to that enemy and move into your preferred destiny, your destination, and your place in God. Opening a way where there is no way. God does it practically. He does it spiritually. He wants to do it for somebody today. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea. This is the prophet Isaiah prophesying both to back to this event and prophesying to his day and prophesying to us today. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Somebody say, God wants to do a new thing. God wants to do something new in your life today. Ministry team, would you come forward? I want you ready. I want your faith stirred right now because we're going to lay hands on some people. We're going to sing. And while we're singing, if you want to come forward to receive prayer, you do that. Now it springs up. What springs up? Moving forward. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God wants to do a mighty work in somebody's life today. Let's be reminded. Yes, he's the God that takes us around. Why? It's the smartest route. He knows you're going to be a victorious warrior receiving all the promises. If you're waiting for the door to open, for the Red Sea to part, today's your day. Would you stand with me? If you would like to come down, something's already, you're ready, your faith is stirred, you want hands laid on you today, or just someone to agree with you in prayer, you do that. We'll stay as long as there are people to pray for. Let's sing this before we're dismissed.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
every storm. 'Cause you are Waymaker, miracle, the promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle, the promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Pray as long as there are folks to pray. God bless you today. He's the way maker. Bree, I just want to put you on the spot this morning. I know that, yeah, there's only one Bree. I just want to put you on the spot this morning. You know, I just know a little bit of the story of Nova Scotia coming back. God leading you around and bringing you back to Cornwall, only to take you back to Nova Scotia. And I wonder if I could just assume and presume enough today that you would come and Jocelyn's going to lay hands and pray. You're leaving with a deposit. You're leaving with God doing something so powerful in you. And even though you can't see it, feel it, or discern it, I want you to know that you just the obedience to do this roundabout back to Cornwall, whatever needed to break through in Nova Scotia is going to break through beyond your wildest dreams. Housing, employment, all of it. Watch and see what the Lord is going to do.
Father, thank you today that you are our way maker, God. Thank you, you are our miracle worker, God, our light in the darkness. Father, I pray this morning as we leave, God, specifically for our candidates of water baptism today, that they will go forward, God, changed and filled, God, ready to do your work, Father. I just pray a blessing over each and every person here this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Be blessed, Harvest.
Have a great week.